We're going to go over the book of Esther today. Amen. The book of Esther. Amen. The Feast of Purim is coming up this week on Thursday. Amen. And I just felt really compelled to preach today from the book of Esther and from this point of view. I've never preached from this point of view with the book of Esther, the story of Purim. Amen. But praise the Lord. We're thankful today. Again, it's good to have everybody today. Lorraine and I love each and every one of you. Appreciate you. Thank you for loving us and appreciating us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to stand now. If you have a Bible in your hand, Esther chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible in your hand, but you have the app on your phone, go there. Either one of those. Amen. If you don't have neither, go to you can look to the screen. Amen. And we have the scriptures up there today, Esther 9, verse 20. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. I'm going to start at verse 20 and finish the chapter. Amen. You know, sometimes when I'm trying to decide what scriptures to read for my text, sometimes that you just have to include certain ones. So you just might as well read from that one to the last one. Amen. And that's where we are today. Amen. But Esther chapter 9, verse 20, everybody standing that's able and have it, say a good amen.
Amen.
And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day. That's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
From mourning into a good day.
Yeah.
That they should make them days of feasting and joy, and sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do that as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to the writing, and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm the second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews, to the 127 provinces, to the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim and their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed, the matters of the fastings and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Hallelujah. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's make it. Make it known.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless him. And then I think I'll bless him some more. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're learning a new song that talks about that. Amen. I'm going to bless him, and then I'll bless him some more. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If the Lord would allow me, I'm going to minister this morning on the thought, a turning point is coming. A turning point is coming. Look at your neighbor and say, amen, a turning point is coming. Hallelujah, there will be a turning point. Amen, it is coming. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Jews worldwide are preparing to celebrate Purim. Purim is a festival, amen, that is, as we just read to you, amen, that is declared by God to be remembered. It's considered one of the lesser of the festivals, if I can say it like that. But, amen, they're getting ready to celebrate that, preparing for that. It's a biblical feast. Amen. And the Word of God that we are commanded, as I read to you, that when God established it, he said all the Jews, all their seed, all their generation, and all of those that bring themselves to them. Amen. We have brought ourselves to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have been grafted in. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can honor God. We can worship him. Amen. In the truth. Amen. Of the festival of Purim. Hallelujah. But this biblical feast is one of unbridled joy. That means nothing or no one can hinder your joy, amen, during the celebration of Purim. Amen. Praise God. But yet, as we look around, amen, there is a season of war that is going on in the Middle East, amen, as Hamas, we know, invaded Israel on the 7th of October in 2023, right after, amen, Tabernacles, praise God, and that war has continued to take place, and I will tell you that that war is still escalating, that war is not over yet. Amen. Again, we don't always get reported on the news and everything that's happening. Praise God. But I will tell you that it is not, amen, over yet. Then we know the war in Ukraine continues. Amen. Which began on the 24th of February in 2022 when Ukraine was invaded by Russia. Amen. And we know that recently, praise God, the talk of the Ukrainian war has been in our news in the last couple of weeks. Amen. It has been in the forefront of the United States and our government and those that are leading in Washington. Amen. And so in this season of Purim, amen, that is a season of unbridled joy as preparations are being made. Hallelujah, there is war, amen, a season of war that is among us. We know that upheaval, amen, and uncertainty surround us just about on every side, amen. We truly are living in perilous times. Just because we are not in the Middle East does not mean that we are not being affected by this war. Amen. And specifically in the spirit. Amen. But everywhere you turn, there's upheaval and there is uncertainty that is taking place in the world. Hallelujah. Yet, amen, in the midst of all of the upheaval and all of the uncertainty, amen, the message of Purim is powerful and it resonates throughout history. I need somebody to say it with me this morning. I'm just going to lay a foundation, amen, and bring what God has brought us to bring to you today. Amen. So even in a time of uncertainty and even in a time, amen, when things are just, we're just not sure, amen, and everything seems to be in an uproar, amen, we're now, amen, able to focus on Purim. That gives us a powerful message, amen, and it resonates all down throughout history. It's times like this, and I'm thankful that God made it a divine appointment, that God, amen, forced his people to turn their face from whatever is going on and look to the heavens and remember, as it's recorded, just how faithful that our God is. I need somebody just to give him a praise right there, because he's faithful. We know that God is a God of patterns, and patterns can help us connect the dots. See, when we're not sure of what's happening, when we're not sure of what is taking place, patterns help us connect dots. Amen. And one of the most notable things about Purim is that God's name is not mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther. Amen. Understand that nowhere in the book of Esther is God's name mentioned. Hallelujah. But he is working a miracle behind the scenes. It's like there's a glove, amen, that is in the midst of all of it. And you can't see the hand that's in the glove, but it's God's hand that's in the glove. Amen, that's making every moment matter in the situation, because he's about to do something. You don't know what he's doing in the moment, but it won't be long before the dots become connected. I need somebody to help me. Why? Because he is a God of patterns. Hallelujah. And so because of that, amen, because we see that God is working, amen, behind the scenes, and I'm not going to go into all the details about the story of Esther and Mordecai and Purim. So I challenge you this week to get in the book of Esther and read it. We preached it many, many times in all of the details, amen, of the story. But because we see this miracle working power, this hand behind the scenes, we have to recognize the underlying pattern, amen, that what appears to be random, amen, events that led up to a miracle. What appears to be random events, we have to understand, because, amen, he's working behind the scenes, amen, we have to recognize that there's an underlying pattern. Hallelujah, that these events that seem to be random, God is taking these things and he's working them toward a miracle. Can I just interject right there ahead of where I'm going? Hallelujah, to tell you that it may not make sense this morning. What you're dealing with right now in this season may not make sense, but if God is working on your behalf, understand that nothing that happens is random. I need somebody to help me today. Hallelujah. It may look like, hallelujah, it's like looking at a picture, at an image, a digital image, and when it becomes all pixelated, it doesn't, you can't make out what it's doing, but when all of those little dots and those pixels all start to come together, when they're all in their right place and everything is lined up, color with color, image with image, shape with shape, that's when you get a picture of what it's trying to say. That's what I need somebody to understand today. It may not make sense right now, but if you stay in the presence of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I promise you, a turning point is on the way. He's going to make it make sense. I'm trying to just lay a foundation, but I feel the holiness of our God in our midst today. Hallelujah. Are you with me? We know that Purim is a story of extremes. It's a very extreme story. We realize that there was an impending Holocaust that was about to annihilate the entire Jewish people. It was about to exterminate, take out, amen, all of the Jewish population. We understand that Haman, who was the wicked, amen, prime minister of King Ahasuerus, hallelujah, who was the king of Persia. King Ahasuerus was the king of Persia. His prime minister was a man by the name of Haman. Haman was wicked. Amen. So in just in case you don't pick up on it, let me help you so we can move on. Haman represents the enemy in your life. Haman in this story represents the devil, the Satan in your life. The enemy that comes to rob, that comes to kill, that comes to destroy. That's the Haman in your life. Are you with me? We know that he persuaded the king to kill all the Jews in his kingdom. Haman convinced King Ahasuerus to kill all the Jews that were in his kingdom. Now, this was literally almost the entire Jewish population at this time. Amen. Due to a Babylonian exile. Amen. We remember when the Jews were exiled into Babylon. Babylon, amen, overthrew them and took them into captivity. Hallelujah. Later we see that Persia, amen, who was a superpower, had overthrown Babylon, amen, which placed the Jews now under that Persian superpower. So now the Jews were under the control of the Persian government. So now Persia was a superpower of this time. And so this is why almost all of the Jewish population was in the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Persia. Hallelujah. And Haman has persuaded, amen, King Ahasuerus to kill all of the Jews in his kingdom. So the decree was made and the date was set. Hallelujah. The 15th, amen, of Adar. The date was set. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so now we understand that the date was set by the casting of lots. Lot in the Hebrew is the word per. Amen. It was like a dice. And like it's the best way to explain it. You know, I brought dice out here before and we taught and preached on Kareem and we taught about the numbers that came up and all of the things. Hallelujah. With the dates. Amen. But they literally cast lots. Amen. And the numbers that came up. Amen. Set the date. Amen. That's why it's called Purim. Purim is lots in the Hebrew. Amen. And so the date was now set. Amen. But here's what you got to understand. That the whole story of Purim, amen, it took place from beginning to end in a span of about 9 years. So 9 years from beginning to end, the whole story of Purim, all of the events that took place to bring us, amen, to where God says, don't forget it. Don't forget what I've done for you. Mark it in your book. Make it a decree for your seed, for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and their, amen, children, and your children's children, and anyone, again, that connects themselves to you. Hallelujah. So 9 years. Hallelujah. And so here's what I want us to look at this morning. To the naked eye, amen, the events that happened during these 9 years seemed random and circumstantial. As they're happening, they really don't seem all that important. When these events that are leading up to this climax of a miracle that ends up happening for the Jewish people, all of these things that are happening, amen, all of these events seem random and circumstantial. Hallelujah. But how many knows that with God, nothing is circumstantial? When God's hand is in it, hallelujah, he's orchestrating every move, every step. He'll use the enemy. He'll use good people. He'll use wicked people. He'll use whoever and whatever he needs to get the end result. I need somebody to just give him a shout of praise right there, because he loves us that much that he would go to that extreme to show his love to us in his works. So in a nutshell, King Ahasuerus, I may call him King A because that's a lot to say. Amen. Praise God. You can get twisted, and I don't want to give you anything to make fun of me about. Yeah. Although you'll find something, I'm sure. But in a nutshell, King A had a party, right? He invites his wife, who rejects him. And he is so angry at her rejection that he has her killed. So he has his wife, who is the queen, killed. We know that Esther, who was a Jewish woman, hallelujah, who was there, she was young, she was beautiful, amen. And we know that it took a year to choose the queen, and all of the progress and the process that had to take place. But it all ends up that Esther is chosen to be queen. But no one knows her identity. No one knows that she's a Jew. For if they knew she was a Jew, she would not be the queen of Persia. Come on, somebody, help me. But who would think that God would take an exiled young woman who had no desire, amen, to be a queen, but he would raise her up. Hallelujah. Her mom and dad died. Amen. And her uncle took her in. And her cousin Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Who knew that God, when her parents died, had her in mind for a miracle that was about to take? I need somebody to understand the providence of God this morning. Because there will be a turning point. Look at your neighbor and say that there will be a turning point. So no one knows her identity. Now Mordecai is her cousin, as we've already said and we've read about him. He is an official already to the king, amen. And so he is sitting at the gate, at the king's gate, and one day he overhears about an assassination attempt that was going to be taken out on the king, amen. So he hears about this assassination attempt, hallelujah, and he thwarts and prevents this from happening, amen. So he saves the king. Amen. Then, as the story moves on, there was a night when King A had a little insomnia and he couldn't sleep. And so he got up out of his bed and he began to open the book of Chronicles. Amen. Amen. They kept Chronicles. Hallelujah. That's why we have the book of 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And that's why they mirror one another a lot, because 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings gives a description and talks a lot about what happened, but the 1st and 2nd book of Chronicles gives details that 1st and 2nd Kings doesn't, because as they was writing the, amen, it's like writing a diary, right? You write all little details. Amen. They wrote things in the Chronicles. So King A had insomnia, and he gets up to read, amen, the Chronicles, and he comes across, hallelujah, amen, where Mordecai saved his life, and he didn't realize it. Somehow he missed, amen, that this man saved his life. And so when he had that, amen, that revelation, or when he saw that, so imagine, God took his sleep.
Come on now.
Come on.
Here's another dot. Amen. Here's another random event. Oh, I couldn't sleep last night, so I got up and read the word. So frustrating, right? I don't sleep well. My age has just made that a challenge these days. I'm just honest with you. Praise God. I can't tell you when I woke up and feel like I slept. That's just the truth. So, but imagine he had insomnia. Imagine God not allowing, taking your sleep to wake you up, to show you something that may not seem like much at the moment, but it's a little dot. It's a dot that when that dot is connected, there's going to be a bigger picture of what God is doing. Somebody needs to understand that today. Hallelujah. And so he said, I need to honor this man. We need to let this man know that I'm thankful that he saved my life. Hallelujah. And so we know that he decides to reward Mordecai at the same time that Haman is ready to take out his evil plot to annihilate all the Jews. Matter of fact, he asked Haman, I'm cutting a lot of details, but amen, when he was ready to honor Mordecai, Haman came in all cocky cocky and arrogant because he had convinced the king to make a decree that he was going to kill all the Jews. But little did Haman know that there was a hand working. Hallelujah. And nobody said his name, but he's on the move. Ah, somebody help me in this place. See, your family, your lost loved ones, they may not call on God. They may not worship him. They may not even recognize him. But they don't know because mom and dad prayed and mom and dad is fasting and mom and dad has got a promise. They don't know that every little thing that's happening in their life, God's going to take it and he's making it, hallelujah, to turn their life upside down. So he asks Haman, how do you think? Haman comes in all proud and he's like, well, what do you think we ought to do to honor a man who has been so good to the king? Well, I think you ought to dress him in fine clothes and you ought to put him on a horse and ride him through the city. While Haman was thinking it's going to be me, God said, nope. I'm about to advance for the KI. I'm about to take you down. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that he's got a one up on you. Because if God's on your side and your focus is to serve him and please him, it may look like the enemy's getting the upper hand, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I've never seen the hand of God removed off of a child. Of his destiny. I'm still just laying the foundation. I told God, please help me not to get excited. So God flipped the script. Now the dots are starting to connect. It's been a lot of years. Oh, somebody help me. But now the dots are starting to connect. And we know, amen, praise God. God put Mordecai out on the horse and amen, paraded him, praise God, and amen, elevated him, praise the Lord. But you see, hallelujah, Mordecai heard of this decree to destroy all the Jews. And he convinced Esther, who was the queen now, he convinced Esther to go into the king, amen, for such a time as this. Yes. Hallelujah, to go in and make a request to the king. See, she said, I can't. See, it was against the law for anybody to request or to go into the king without first being invited. Even the queen was not allowed to go in. Hallelujah. And she said, but you know what? Hallelujah. If it means, if you'll tell the people and they'll fast with us, amen, and pray. Hallelujah. If it means my life, either way, I guess I'm going to die because I'm a Jew. But for such a time as this, if I perish, I perish. I'll go ahead and go on in and take that chance. Sometimes you just gotta step out of the boat. Sometimes you just gotta say, you know what, God, I ain't got nothing to lose. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's your heritage. It belongs to you as an heir of the God of Abraham. Amen. Goes before the king to stop Haman. God uses Esther to trick Haman into believing that he was going to be celebrated. He used Esther. But the king used Haman's pride to crown Mordecai. And it ended up that the very gallows that Haman had built to hang. Hallelujah. The Jews on God seeing to it, amen, that the king A hung Haman and his sons on the very gallows, amen, that was meant for his people. Can I tell you that the very thing that the enemy thinks is going to take you out, God will use it to bring the victory. I told you, you may not understand what's happening every moment. Every event that's happening is just a dot in the great big landscape of what God is doing. But God's a God of patterns. He doesn't do anything randomly. He doesn't do anything coincidentally. It's not by coincidence that you run into certain people. It's not by coincidence. Are you with me? You don't have to read the story yourself to get all those details. We know that the Jews ended up being saved. And Esther's identity was revealed. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm one of them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm one of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preach right there.
You better know it.
And after Haman was hung on the gallows and his sons, and Mordecai was, amen, crowned and paraded through the city, amen, the king, King A, amen, elevated him, promoted him to prime minister, amen, so he took the place of Haman. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. The influence that the enemy thinks he's got over your life, he's got over your thoughts and your mind, hallelujah, God's just going to elevate you. He's going to raise it up. Listen, I don't say that, amen, lightly. I don't say that, amen, because it's the right thing to say. I say that because that's how growth and the favor of God works in your life. So over the 9 years, circumstances are positioned in a way that when all the right people are in the right place at the right time to ensure that Haman doesn't exterminate the Jews. So that when it's all said and done, every little thing that happened all down through those years, put all the right people in the right place at the right time to bring about deliverance for God's people.
Right.
Because they were not executed. Amen. The king reversed the decree. Hallelujah. Praise God. And promoted Mordecai again. Hallelujah. And kept Esther as his queen. Amen. So God is about to flip upside down. Amen. Everything that the enemy thought was going to be your final stance. Help me. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. Everything that the enemy thought you were going to be left standing on, which was his plot, his decree. Hallelujah. God's getting ready to flip it up, turn it upside down. And when he flips it up, he's going to put the enemy, amen, underneath, and he's going to raise you up. And the very thing that he thought was going to take you out, it's going to bring you up. Come on, somebody, do you understand me? And there is a miracle.
Amen.
Now, if we were living there and all these events that spread over these 9 years, those events could have looked random. More than likely, they would have looked random because we're not sitting there thinking, oh, I know what God's going to do with that. Well, I know why I got to go in and risk my life. God's working. These events would have looked random and even isolated experiences, right? We don't, you know, you don't think about, I mean, I guess maybe some people do, but that can become bondage. That's a different thing. That can become a spiritual bondage. That can become demonic if you're not careful. But everything, you know, that, oh, whatever that's happening for, whatever that happened today, whatever this is happening, whatever that's happening, oh, that must be something. I mean, we can do that. I ain't got time for that. Lord Jesus. I'm done about a headspace as it is. I ain't got time to try to cram anything else in there, right? Come on, you know what I'm saying? So my point is if we were living there, we would see these events as just random or isolated experiences. Because see, when we're too close to events, we can't see the forest from the tree. We focus so much on the trees that we forget that all of them together is a forest.
Right.
And that one tree might help or one tree might be a hindrance, but when you pull all of them together, well, that one tree is just a dot in the bigger picture.
Right.
And when you're too close to something, when you're going through it, when you're feeling the emotions, when you are connected to the heartache and to the confusion and to the disappointment and to the grief and to the sorrow, amen, when you are connected to the battle, when the battle, amen, when the smoke of the battle is right in front of you and you got some bruises and you got some bleeding, amen, some cuts where, amen, you tried to miss them, but it got you anyhow, but you're still standing, right? When you're too close, amen, to the battle, all you see is the moment.
Amen.
And it usually takes a little while before we think, well, God must be going to do something good, or this got to mean something, right? And so when we're too close, we can't see the forest from the trees. And see, when we read the book of Esther and we see the sequence of events, see, we have the privilege of having the whole story after it took place.
Right.
But put yourself in Mordecai and Haman and King A and Esther and all of these other people that played a part in everything that God did to lead up to, amen, the saving and the deliverance of his people. So, but when we read the book of Esther and we see the sequence of events, it's then we can begin to connect the dots and see the bigger picture that's emerging that leads to an absolute miracle.
Yeah.
Right? Am I making sense to you this morning? I've never preached from this perspective of the story of Purim. So then the message becomes clear. And specifically here, it becomes clear both on a global and personal scale. Because this was not only a national issue, it was also a personal issue. And so now, because we have been connected to the story, it now becomes the same for us. When we connect all the dots and we put all of it together, it becomes clear that there's an absolute miracle at what God is doing.
Yeah, right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's if you choose to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's given us an appointment this week. Mm-hmm. Thursday at sundown. He's given us an appointment. And he says, if you show up, I'll be up. If you come, I'll be there. Right? Amen? And all that happened here, all of the glory and all of the joy and all of the breakthrough and everything that happened here can happen for us. That's just how he works. See, global events are all the dots often appearing disconnected. When this happens over in this part of the world, and that happens over in that part of the world, and this happens over in this country, and this happens here in the United States, and that happens over there. You know, you'll ask people, did you hear about that? No, I don't know what you're talking about. And in our mind, we're like, I don't care about that. It doesn't matter to me. Oh, but it does. Because it's one of the dots in the bigger picture that is connected to all who are connected to him.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So the global events are all dots that often appear disconnected. Every event just becomes another dot in the picture. The picture isn't clear yet, but everything that happens becomes another dot in the bigger picture. And so while we live through the events, we only see the dots and not the bigger picture. Right? Am I telling you the truth? Outside of a prophetic revelation, we only see the dots in the moment and not the bigger picture. So when all of these things are happening, all of these things that are taking place, The planes, amen, that are mysteriously crashing, amen. Fires burning, I don't care how they got started. Fires burning, wind blowing, amen, to make the fire, amen, even more greater of a threat. Amen, the earthquakes, amen, the strange weather patterns. Snow on the beaches in Florida. Snow on the beaches in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. That don't happen that often. It's not that it's never happened, but when it happens in quantity, like it is in such a time as this, we have to understand that those are dots in a bigger picture. It's not a time to fear, and it's not a time to hide and dig a hole and put yourself underground and run away, but it's a time to understand that Jesus said, when we see these things, don't look down, look up, because your final redemption is closer than it was this time last year. Somebody help me in this place. And if you start connecting dots in this culture, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you start connecting dots, now granted, see, listen, help me, Jesus, not to sound, not to get carnal. I don't like to use the pulpit for that, you know, I don't. But listen, when those first planes mysteriously crashed and, amen, things come down like rockets out of the sky, now you're getting every report about every plane and everything that's breaking down and every plane that gets stalled on the, amen, on the tarmac. You know why? Because the media wants you to be afraid. Listen to me now. I'm not going to get on a plane for a while, praise God, just because I'm connecting the dots.
Right.
But they bring all of that to the forefront, and they're not telling you about these things that are happening in the Middle East that are pivotal, amen, for our country. They only want us to see what they want us to see. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So when all of these are happening, We can connect the dots, and as these events are happening, we really don't see the bigger picture. They're just moments. They're just happenings, or they're dots, if I can say it like that. Amen. Praise God. But when you look back in retrospect, we see the patterns emerging. And you're like, okay. Snow on the beach in this city in Florida. Okay, that's cool. Snow on the beach in Virginia. Okay. Well. Frigid polar temperatures over here. California's on fire. Okay, well, that's not the thing that hasn't happened before. But now, New York's on fire. Myrtle Beach was on fire just a few days ago. Wait a minute. There's some dots that need to start being connected here. That's not conspiracy, and that's not coincidence. Amen. Something is happening. Ooh, I need to take note of this. I need to, and where's the first place we need to go? We need to go to the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So it's when we look back in retrospect and we start connecting the dots, then we start seeing the bigger picture. Oh, okay, I see what's happening. And then the buzz is, what do you think about that? You think we're ready for the rapture? You think we're ready for the rapture? What do you think about that?
I feel like that was us yesterday.
Right? Everybody starts, the buzz starts happening. Everybody starts making their prophetic predictions. Help us, Jesus.
Yep.
And it's the same with our personal lives.
Yeah.
When we're in the moment of the battles and the afflictions and the turmoil and the messes and the confusion and the troubled times and the hardships. We're in the moment of silence. We're not hearing from God. We're barely feeling anything. Hallelujah, but we're not hearing from God. When we're in the moment, we just see it as a trial. But then when you look back, you start looking back, amen, over the months and for some of us, even the years, and you start looking and connecting the dots. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Now I see how God used that to bring about this, and he used this to bring about that, and he brought that here so that I could see this, and he gave me this so that I could go here, and I went here so that I could connect with this person, and I connected with this person because they connected me with that person, and that person connected me with this person, and this person brought me here, and I'm here, amen, and then that brought me over here to where you are now. It may not be a good place, and it may not be what you want or like, but you can look back, and when you start connecting the dots, you can say something has to happen. There has to be a turning point. There has to be a shift. I need somebody to help me in this place. God speaks to turn some things. You got to keep your head in the Word. You got to keep your mind sanctified. You got to keep your heart transformed. Hallelujah, to remind yourself, don't give up, don't give in, don't look back, but hold on, press a little bit farther. Are you with me this morning? I'm trying not to keep going. So it's the same with our personal lives. It's the same with history as a whole. Y'all know I love history. I love history. History is fascinating to me because history has made us and brought us to where we are now.
Right.
And we got to make history.
Yeah.
It just ain't going to be recorded.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Okay. Hallelujah. But it ain't going to last long. Huh? Yeah. It's the same with history as a whole. It's a process with each generation contributing. Amen, to the bigger picture. So the generation that came before you has contributed to this generation. And the generation before them has affected and affected them and brought them to the place they were so that they could take that and then their experience and then bring it to you. And what we're doing is affecting this generation. Are you with me?
Yep.
That's why you best be careful what you do.
Yes.
With your kids, to your kids, in front of your kids.
Yep. Come on, right? Yep.
And make sure you know who and what has got their hands on your babies.
That's right.
Come on, somebody, help me.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
I got two or three there. That's all right. It's the same with history. That generation had no idea the dots that they were making in the bigger picture. It's not until we got in this generation that some of those dots were connected and made sense.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Am I making sense to everybody today?
Yes.
And this goes all the way back to the Bible and our current day today. So it goes all the way back to the beginning, because the beginning was in the end, and the end is in the beginning. That's what the Bible says. So God done had it all figured out. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And where it ends up, the beginning is going to be right in the middle of it, because that's his plan in the first place. Are you with me? Everything that he's done in between then, amen, and the end is to bring us to that place. Are you with me? And so everything that's happened to you in that process is to get you to that place. To get you to the end, because he knows your expected end. I know the plans that I've made for you, and I know the expected end. Are you with me? And there's been messages that have been lost in many nations and empires. We were talking about this yesterday, about Mystery Babylon and the Whore of Babylon in the book of Revelation, and how the connection goes all the way back to, amen, Babylon, amen, taking God's people into exile, and the spirit messages, amen, from empires and nations have been lost. See, they didn't see their role as part of the past and the future. They only indulged in their powers of the moment. Right? Are you with me? I'm trying to make this as elementary as I can. Enjoying in the moment the glory of their achievements. Little did they realize that they were just a dot in the bigger picture by the time God gets revelation fulfilled. Are you with me? Amen. So a lot of messages were lost. Those nations and those empires did not realize their role. Amen. They didn't see themselves as dots or links in the chain of history. They just knew that they were the most powerful in the moment. They just knew that their crowning achievements glorified them and their ability and their power in the moment. But little did they know that it was being chronicled and it was being written, and God was going to take all of that and bring it to where we are today. Isn't that amazing? Who that God could think like that and do like that, that before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb, He thought of me. And He had a destiny assigned to my life. And the moment, who thought, who knew when that 16-year-old Christian girl, that teenage girl who was the only one saved in her family, amen, that little Pentecostal church, amen, in Portsmouth, and the pastor's name was Garrett Leslie. Who knew that Garrett had an older son, amen, who was getting ready to, amen, to come out of the army. His second term, he getting ready to come out of the army, 25 years old. Who knew that when that little girl, amen, at 16 would go home and her mom and would cuss and she would be so embarrassed at the language of her mom, but she said, you know what, there's something in that place, amen, that I want. And she gave her life to Jesus. Hallelujah. And He calls her to meet, amen, that 25-year-old, amen, soldier. Hallelujah. Now, amen, they get married on Christmas Eve. Amen, in 19, hallelujah, 51. Hallelujah. Amen, 3 years later, work was not good. Amen, so they moved to Columbus. Amen, to have better work. 3 years later, she gave birth to her oldest son. Amen, 3 years after that, she gave birth to her oldest daughter. Hallelujah, 3 years after that, she gave birth to her youngest daughter. What she thought would be her last child, because they did surgery and they had to remove some of her female organs because of disease, and they told her, you'll never get pregnant again. She got rid of all of the baby stuff. They lived in a house, amen, that was, amen, comfortable for three babies and a mom and dad. But 4 years later, she felt something in her womb, and she said, no way, no how, but I know what that is. I've done been there three times. Henry, I'm pregnant. Oh my God, I'm about to be 30 years old. I'm about to be 40 years old. I don't need another baby. The doctor said, you're wrong. You're wrong. Hallelujah. There's no way you're pregnant. She said, there's no way, I'm not. He said, it's a tumor. She said, it's the liveliest tumor that I believe has ever been in existence. Hallelujah. 9 months later, on December 18th, on a Friday morning, her water broke. She went into labor, gave birth to a 9-pound, 14-ounce, 23-inch long baby boy. That was me. Who knew that at the moment, hallelujah, that my mom gave her life to Jesus, He'd have had me in mind when the enemy said, was conceived. God released that destiny in my mother's womb over my life.
Amen.
And that was 60 years ago.
Amen.
And he's still working on me.